This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page and inshallah ta'ala today you're on page number 89 which is in the fifth juz of the Quran Surah An-Nisa In the previous episode we spoke about a number of verses of the Quran and a number of important principles and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the believers to stay away from issues that the hypocrites were known for. And from those issues that the hypocrites were known for, those issues of hypocrisy, was that they would outwardly claim and profess to have iman and belief in Allah, belief in the revelation of Allah, belief in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but then they were not willing to submit themselves to the laws of Allah and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it came to their disputes, and when it came to their issues in which they required judgment, they would seek other than the laws of Allah. And other than the judgments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how then Allah azza wa jalla is saying that if they had simply turned back to Allah, Allah would have forgiven them. But because of their disbelief, because of their arrogance, because of their pride, they turn away from the ways of Allah azza wa jalla. And we mentioned that very important principle of the Quran, and that is that the believer is the one who is willing to accept the commands of Allah, and doesn't have any resistance in their hearts towards it, and is willing to submit to it fully and completely, as is commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal. Today we begin from verse number 66 of Surah An-Nisa, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبَنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِ اقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَوِ اخْرُجُوا مِن دِيَارِكُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ ولو أنهم فعلوا ما يوعظون به لكان خيرا لهم أشد تثبيتا If we had ordered lay down your lives or leave your homes, they would not have done so except for a few. It would have been far better for them and stronger confirmation of their faith if they had done as they are told. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, وَلَوْ أَنَّا Had we, if we had ordered them, to show that these are people who are not willing to accept the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not willing to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and ordered them with. Allah azza wa jalla is saying that if we had ordered them or given them the command to kill yourselves, lay down your lives, or to leave your homes and your abodes, stay away from your homes, ما فعلوا, they wouldn't have done so. إلا قليل منهم, except for a group from amongst them or a small number from amongst them. And that is because they don't have true iman. They don't have true willingness to submit to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His legislations. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ And if they were to simply follow the commands of Allah, follow what Allah Azza wa Jalla has reminded or instructed them with, that would be better for them and it would be a stronger confirmation of their iman. And that is the way that the Muslim therefore should behave. The way that the Muslim behaves is that they understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He instructs them with, and Allah Azza wa Jalla never instructs us to kill ourselves, never instructs us to become poor or homeless or whatever it is. What Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, that even if that was to be the instruction, the true believer would be someone who would submit and would accept. But what Allah Azza wa Jalla does command us with is that which will give us benefit, that which will bring us goodness in this life and the next, that which will bring us Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward in this life and the next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to have good character. Allah azza wa jalla commands us to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to have integrity and honesty in our dealings with others. All of the commands of Islam are commands that are good, commands in which there is righteousness, commands in which there is goodness for the individual, for the family, for the community and the society. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ If only people would listen to the reminders and the instructions of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so that is the way that the believer should be. in every single affair, what we should ask ourselves and think about is, what does Allah instruct here? What does Allah want from me here? What are Allah's commands in this situation? So when it comes to my worship, when it comes to my family life, when it comes to my business or my career or my studies, when it comes to my friends and my social circle, when it comes to society at large, in all of these different elements, in every single one of these scenarios and aspects, what is it that Allah Azza wa Jalla commands? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me? وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ. If only they did as Allah commanded. If only they did as Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed. If only they followed the legislation of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what would happen to them? Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention to us a number of benefits. The first of them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. It would be better for them. And the word khayr means everything in which there is goodness. They would have all goodness, and all harm and evil would be removed from them. That is the first benefit. لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Number two, وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا. And it would be more better for their iman. It would give them more steadfastness, make them firmer upon their belief and upon their iman. And that is because when a person believes in Allah Azza wa Jal and leaves their affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follows the commandments and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have essentially given themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever places all of their affairs in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, then there is no better protector, helper, one who will come to your aid than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this person knows that what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed for them is better for them. And this is what you will find in the stories of the prophets, in the lives of the companions, in the lives of the scholars of Islam. They were willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to place all of their affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they knew then from that point that anything that happens, good or evil, it is because Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted it for them. And Allah only decrees what is good for the believer. Even when it is hardship and calamity, even in what may seem outwardly to be bad or evil, for the believer it is inherently good. And that is because of the way that they respond. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that Allah would give them more steadfastness and He would give them khair. So even in times of calamity, they would have the steadfastness and the strength of iman with which to overcome that calamity and the difficulty. And they would see within it khair and goodness that Allah Azza wa Jal would give to them in different ways and in different signs and in different things that they possibly could never imagine. So that is the second benefit. If they only did as Allah instructed, it would be good for them, number one. Number two, they would be given a stronger sense of iman, more steadfastness, the iman would become firmer. Number three is what Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the next verse, number 67. وَإِذَنْ لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And we would give to them a rich reward of our own. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that number three, they would have an immense reward. Because these are the people who believe in Allah truly. These are the people who are willing to sacrifice their own desires and to follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are the ones who are willing to submit to Allah's laws and His commandments and His legislation subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who have iman, and they do righteous deeds, and they have full submission and devotion to Allah, they will have the greatest of rewards. That is the third accolade. The fourth one is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then mentions in verse number 68. وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And guided them to a straight path. And that is the fourth benefit, that these people will be upon guidance. They will be upon the path that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, that will lead to Allah's reward and His pleasure and His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will lead them to Jannah. So by following the commands of Allah, by following the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, these are the four rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. That you will have good, be protected from harm. And harm doesn't mean calamities necessarily. It means that you will not within those calamities do that which will harm you in terms of your akhirah, in terms of your standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, you will be given steadfastness and the firmness and the strength of iman to overcome the challenges of the dunya. Number three, that Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for your iman, for your patience, for your gratitude, for your obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And number four, that you will stay upon the straight path, the path that leads ultimately to the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse number 69, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be among those He has blessed, will be amongst those whom He has blessed, the messengers, the truthful, those who bear witness to the truth and the righteous, and what an excellent companionship they are. Allah Azza wa Jal says, therefore, summarizing the benefits, the blessings, the rewards of those people who live a life of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we see from these verses in the past couple of episodes, these passages of Surah An-Nisa, that from the main aspects of the believer, from his main functions, the believer in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that they are people of obedience to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The believer is someone who is muti', an obedient servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, willing to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, willing to obey Allah Azza wa Jal and the commands of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever lives that life of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them and honor them. They will be alongside those whom Allah has blessed. And Allah Azza wa Jal then names for us these four categories of people that have been blessed. Number one, are the Nabiyeen, the prophets and messengers of Allah. And they are the greatest of Allah's creation. They are the ones whom Allah favored with His revelation. They are the ones that Allah Azza wa Jal chose, and He safeguarded them from all major sins and shirk and evil. And Allah Azza wa Jal raised them up as role models for all of society. And on Yawmul Qiyamah, they will be the leaders of mankind. And they will be the ones given the loftiest of stations in Jannah. These people of obedience will be alongside these people. These people who live their lives in obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with those whom Allah has blessed. At the forefront of them are the prophets and messengers of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in the general term, all of the prophets and messengers of Allah. So that includes our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It includes the likes of Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Nuh. It includes the likes of Dawood and Sulaiman and Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam. Those prophets whose names we know and those whom we do not know. That is the first category of people. Number two, as-siddiqeen. Those people who attest to the truth. They bear witness to it. People like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known as a siddiq. Abu Bakr, if you study his life, you read his story, his biography, he's a man who whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says do something or believe in something or he mentions something, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu instantly accepts. Has no trepidation, has no resistance, has no moment of confusion, has no time that he needs to go and study and think and reflect and then come back and decide. He is someone who immediately at the time is willing to accept without any issue, without any need to think or to reflect or to go away for some time. That is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best of this ummah after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the moment that he heard about Islam, from the lips of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted Islam immediately. And from that moment on, he dedicated his life to serving Islam and to serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has that amazing status. Even in the most difficult of times, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has no issue. So whether it's the Isra and the Mi'raj, the night journey where people can't understand, can't fathom how a man can travel in those days from Mecca to Jerusalem to the heavens and back in a single night, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is willing to accept. Doesn't have any issue. Or whether it's the day of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is signing away a number of privileges and giving them to Quraysh and accepting from Quraysh lesser terms in the way that people would normally consider these terms to be. He is considered to be accepting the lesser terms and giving away more to the Quraysh, and he's accepting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's writing this down and he's willing to sign it. And some of the companions are having problems with this because some of those oppressed Muslims will then turn up chained and asking for help and asking for assistance from the Muslims, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam offers them none because of the pact and the treaty that is just signed with the Quraysh. And the Muslims are seeing this and their hearts are burning because of the oppression that they see being inflicted upon their own brothers in faith. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is strong and firm, And alongside him is Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, who believes as he does, who accepts as he does. Even when Umar radiallahu anh has a moment where he needs to question and understand, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh is firm. And he says to Abu Umar radiallahu anh the exact same words that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him. Don't be a disbeliever, O Ibn al-Khattab. Don't be someone who sways. Don't be someone who's not firm. But rather he is his Lord, meaning Allah is his Lord. He will never forsake him. The exact same words given to Umar radiallahu anh by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh is always strong and firm. And then even at the time of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when many of the companions are finding it extremely difficult to come to terms with this new reality and this news, when they're finding it difficult to accept that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left, and the different companions are processing this information in their own ways, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes to the house of his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. He looks at the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He kisses him upon his forehead and he says, by Allah, you will never suffer death twice. You will never suffer death twice. You have died. And he is the first from amongst the first to accept this radiallahu anhu. And he's the one who then goes out into the masjid amongst the community and he makes them understand this reality, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen to take the life of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is the Siddiq, and their position is great in this religion. Number three, ash-shuhada, the martyrs, those who sacrifice their lives and their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourthly, the salihin, the righteous. وَحَسُّنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what an amazing companionship that is. And that is why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing away, these are the words that he said. بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْعَلَىٰ. Oh Allah, I want the highest of companionships. So likewise, those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam want to be with him in the highest of companionships. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 70, ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. That is Allah's favor, and no one knows better than him. He is the one who has all knowledge. From the greatest favors of Allah is that you are not only given Jannah, but you are given its highest levels with those that Allah Azza wa Jalla has favored with its highest levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 71, يا أيها الذين آمنوا خذوا حذركم فانفروا ثبات أو انفروا جميعا. O you who believe, be on your guard and march to battle in small groups or as a single body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in these verses, in the next passage, will speak about the issue of fighting and being prepared for fighting. As the Muslims were being harmed and being oppressed, they had to defend themselves. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, خذوا حذركم, be on your guard, be prepared for that time when you will have to seek to defend yourselves. And that is why, as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recommend amongst the companions that they practice archery, that they learn horse riding, that they do activities like swimming that would give them the physical ability to be able to withstand the pressure that they were facing from attack from the Quraysh and others who were coming to attack them. فَانْفِرُوا ثُبَاتٍ أَوْ انْفِرُوا جَمِيعًا. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, and then march out into battle into small groups or as a single body. Because as we know, the Prophet ﷺ, in his military expeditions, they were of two types. The first is when all of the Muslims would march together as one, and those are the ones that he would lead himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like the Battle of Badr, like the Battle of Uhud, like the conquest of Mecca, like the Battle of Tabuk. That is all of the Muslims going out as one. Or they go out as a small group. He sends an expedition, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam appoints a companion to be the leader of that expedition, and he tells them and sends them on a certain mission. So either go out in small groups or go out as a single body, as Allah Azza wa Jal commands. In verse number 72, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ فَإِنْ أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالَ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ قَالَ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ إِذْ لَمْ أَكُمْ مَعَهُمْ شَهِيدًا. Amongst you are those, or amongst you is the sort of person who is sure to lag behind. If a calamity befalls you, he says, Allah has been gracious to me that I was not there with them. Allah Azza wa Jal here is speaking about, again, the people like the hypocrites who stayed away, who turned away and didn't want to fight. They would lag behind, they would make excuses, they would find any way or means to stay away from the fighting for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they would say, if some calamity then befell that group of people that went, those companions that went and were fighting, they were injured, or from amongst them they were killed, or sometimes all of them would be killed, they would say that this is from Allah's favor upon me, that I was not meant to be with them, meaning that Allah saved me from that which they encountered. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse number 73, وَلَئِنْ أَصَابَكُمْ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَيَقُولَنَّكَ أَن لَّمْ تَكُن بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ مَوَدَّةٌ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنتُ مَعَهُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Yet he is sure to say, if you are the ones favored by Allah, if only I had been with them, I could have made great gains, as if there had been no ties of affection between you and him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is their reality. Those people who stay away from fighting in the way of Allah azza wa jal, from the hypocrites and others, they only want the blessings of the dunya. They only want from the rewards of the dunya. So if a group of you go out and fight and they stay behind, and then there is some calamity that befalls you, people die, people are injured, they're like, look, Allah favored us, Allah gave to us, we're the ones that have been blessed by Allah, Allah kept us away from that tragedy and we were saved. But if they were to stay behind and you were to go out and you were to win and you were to gain wealth and you gain the spoils of war, then they will say, if only I had been with them, I also would have got that. So their issue is not one of Allah's favors or not favors. Their issue isn't one of what do the Muslims need or not need. Their issue isn't one of should I fight in Allah's way or not fight in Allah's way. It is how can I attain the dunya. And so that is what their main preoccupation is. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it is as if there is no ties of kinship between you and them, meaning that there is no blood between you or them. Meaning they don't care if you're harmed. They don't care if you die. They don't care if you're injured. All that they want is that they have some portion of the dunya, and that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about them in these terms, that they want the ghanima, they want the spoils of war. And as for the hardship that comes with it, the difficulty, the injury, the death that may come, they want no part of it. If there was a way that they could only get the dunya, that is what they would achieve, and that is all that they would want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the final verse that we will take in today's episode, verse number 74, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يَشْرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُقَتَلْ أَوْ يَغْلِبَ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, let those of you who are willing to trade the life of this world for the life to come, fight in Allah's way. To anyone who fights in Allah's way, whether killed or victorious, we shall give to you a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therefore, that those people who fight in Allah's path, who go out and sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, defending their religion and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will give to them a great reward, whether they are from amongst those people who die in battle or whether they return back victorious. And as we've said previously, that these verses of jihad and fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal must be understood in their correct context with the rulings of the Sharia. And that is something which must be studied with the scholars who give to you the parameters and the way that this is done. And it is not meant to be taken out of context, nor is it meant to be applied in the way that unfortunately we have seen in recent times, where people come and they harm the innocent and they attack those people who are not enemies, and they go and they cause a great deal of destruction upon the earth. Those people are not performing jihad, and that is not the jihad that Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated, but rather jihad has its way and has its means and has its laws. And these verses are mentioned in the Quran because the Quran speaks about all of the affairs that the Muslims require and need, and from them is the laws of fighting and the laws of defending yourself and attacking. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions them, but their study is extremely important. And that is that jihad is something which is done by the permission of the rulers of the Muslims and by the scholars of Islam. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.